This is All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. All week, we've been in New Orleans, looking back at what's happened 6 months since Katrina. Now, what lies ahead?
We're in one of the historic Pontalba apartments. They are the stately buildings from the 1850s that overlook Jackson Square. That's where President Bush delivered a nationally broadcast address in September. In that speech, he said, "There's no way to imagine America without New Orleans, and this great city will rise again."
Well, how that should happen, and whose responsibility it is to make it happen, are the overarching questions for our guests in this part of the program. There are three people who are deeply involved in rebuilding this city. King Milling is president of Whitney National Bank and chairman of the Governor's Advisory Commission on Coastal Restoration and Conservation. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Dr. Norman Francis is president of Xavier University and chair of the Louisiana Recovery Authority. Welcome, Dr. Francis.
I'm happy you've had me here to speak tonight.
And Kim Boyle is a member of the Mayor's Bring New Orleans Back Commission. She's also a partner in the law firm Phelps Dunbar.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to be here this evening.
Well, welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for joining us. We're at a lovely spot here near St. Louis Cathedral. It's right over our shoulders, and we're just a block away from the Mississippi River. But many parts of New Orleans are absolutely wiped out. There are miles and miles of empty, devastated neighborhoods. And this is a question we've been posing all week while we've been here. How long will it be before New Orleans is anything approaching whole again? I'd like you each to ponder that question. And Mr. Milling, I'm going to begin with you.
Well, I guess the true issue is the definition of whole. I don't think any of us necessarily expect New Orleans to return in the shape that it was before. There are many decisions, large and small, that have to be made by not only government, but also by individuals who own individual parcels of land. These things don't work quickly, and they shouldn't.
So no quick answers. Dr. Francis, how long do you think it'll take for the city to get to something approaching what it used to be?
The best way I can answer it is it's going to be longer than most people think or thought it would be. And I think if we're going to do it right, we've got to take the time to do it smart, to do it stronger when we build our levees, and to make sure that we are going to treat everybody equitably, not equal, equitably. Because if we do the equal treat, but we'll all be unequal at the end. And I think that's going to take some time.
And Kim Boyle, at the six-month mark, do you have a clearer picture now of what it's going to take to bring this city back?
Well, similar to King and Dr. Francis, I don't think you can put a specific time frame on how long it's going to take. But I think it's important for the rest of the nation to bear in mind that 6 months ago, 80% of our city was literally underwater. That in and of itself is a significant improvement that we've dried out. I think if we try to hold ourselves to a specific timeline, or the rest of the nation tries to hold us to a specific timeline, that would be a mistake. This is going to be a long process, and most of us are in it for the long haul.
I'd like to ask you about one specific problem. New Orleans has had a very vital and important tourist industry. And even though people are now getting higher wages, those who have jobs in it, than they might have gotten before, in order for it to work, there have to be lots of folks who wash dishes and make hotel beds for a living. And they've got to live somewhere. Right now, they can't afford any place in or near this city. How do you solve this problem? Where does the housing come for the people who are inevitably going to have rather low incomes? King Milling, you know?
Well, I believe the marketplace will take care of a lot of those issues. I believe that the banks are prepared to make investment in homes, in affordable housing, and in multifamily dwellings. But first, you've got to get the land itself available for those activities. And right now, quite frankly, very little of that has occurred.
Kim Boyle, are you satisfied with this, that the issues of housing are still beyond the horizon for New Orleans?
Well, I mean, I think housing is the most critical issue facing most of our citizens. Many of them do not have a place to live, and it's a whole lot of issues that relate to that. Insurance really is critical. I have many friends, many colleagues who still have not received a check. Until you have money from your insurance company to rebuild, you can't do so. The FEMA issue, I'm not even going to discuss because the whole nation knows what the problems have been with FEMA, but it's critical for the government to step in and help us make some decisions and help us have some opportunities for people who are trying to move back to the city.
Kim, I just want to follow up on that, because in a conversation that we had with Mayor Ray Nagin, he admitted that the city had a hard time meeting the needs of the city's low-income population before Katrina hit.
Exactly.
And he said that it's just not possible to do that now. Now, that's an incredibly candid statement from a politician, but does that mean that the city is no longer extending a welcome mat to low-income or even working-class residents?
I think that's exactly the wrong impression that any of us should be giving. The city is open and welcome to any and everyone. The city was a diverse city. The city has got to remain a diverse city.
Dr. Francis, you've heard Kim Boyle's appeal. That's what people say. If one looks at what's actually happening in the city right now, the message is, come back. Don't come back yet. Don't come back now.
Well, that's not from the real people. And what our challenge is, really, is to start with that priority, making housing available to everybody who wants to come back, and then have them participate in the employment side. There's going to be a lot of jobs out there, and they ought to participate in the economic development of the city. You know, I say this because I was evacuated from the city. I was displaced. I'm in my second temporary home, and I'm like a lot of New Orleanians. And let me tell you what it's like. Well, what do I do? Am I going to get enough insurance to fix up where I left? Are the floodplains going to tell me something that will say, oh boy, you can't live here? There are so many mixed signals, and I think our challenge is to make it clear you can come home. Everybody ought to have a right to come home.
I'd like to ask you about one other subject before you all go, and that's leadership. This city is going to have elections soon, and it seems that between our system of checks and balances, federalism, home rule, lots of people have been confused by their elected officials here over the past few months. It's been a rough time to try to take guidance from leadership. What does this city need? Not an individual, but what does it need in the way of leadership that it might conceivably get out of an election or two?
Well, I guess I'm the oldest sitting around here, and I've watched leadership in the city for a long time. I think this city needs, first, somebody who isn't worried about whether he or she's going to get reelected. And I'd vote for somebody.
You would vote for somebody.
I'd vote for somebody who said, let me tell you something. You may not like me, but I'm telling you, this is what we have to do. You know, and deep down, the city would rally around that individual.
Although in this context, you may not like me doesn't just mean I'm going to reduce garbage collection on your street. It means I'm going to tell you not to live there anymore. It's pretty big stakes for government.
Well, you know, if you are convinced as a leader that your not living there is the most important thing, not because you are female, not because you're black, not because you're white, but I'm doing it because you are a human being that doesn't deserve to be treated that way. Those decisions are going to have to be made. I'm convinced of that. But part of the problem that we've dealt with for years is that we've neglected to realize that race and gender and color still matter. As long as you put it aside, it keeps showing up because you've not dealt with it. And I think that kind of leader who starts to deal with it, I think, will galvanize a city. I could write the tale for what it'll take, and I'm not running for mayor.
I'd like to take a step back, since we're talking about mayoral elections. How do you hold an election in a city where so many of the residents are scattered far and wide? Kim Boyle.
I think that there are serious issues related to holding the election right now. Many of our citizens who've evacuated have absolutely no idea how the absentee voting process is going to work. And the right to vote is probably one of the most fundamental democratic rights that all of us have. And if we cannot put mechanisms in place where we can ensure that all of our citizens, not just our citizens who were here pre-Katrina and want to participate in this democratic process, if we can't do it through satellite voting in other parts of the state as well as in other parts of the country, which many of us want and has not been accepted, then I think we have a serious problem that taints the upcoming elections for mayor as well as for council members, sheriff, and everything else that's on the ballot in April.
What are the obstacles to the satellite voting centers?
Well, my understanding is that the legislature recently agreed that there would be satellite voting in other parts of the state,
but
they did not agree
to
outside of the state. And we have a substantial amount of our citizens that are living in cities like Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, Memphis. And my position is, if this country can ensure that elections go forward properly in Iraq, that Iraqi citizens who are living in the United States can vote in elections here, I don't understand why we can't ensure that for taxpaying citizens from the city of New Orleans.
King Milling, in terms of leadership, what does New Orleans need?
I think Norman hit it on the head. I have been dismayed at how much time we have spent trying to castigate individuals for their leadership position during a time of unbelievable stress. Hopefully, whomever it may be, the person who comes in will try to put this city's future ahead of almost anything else, because that's what we all want, to be able to serve its citizens in a way that is better than it was before. And to do that, this city's going to have to change, and I don't think anyone here disagrees with that. Change is stressful, and we've got to work through that stress and make it happen.
I'd like to thank all of you for talking with us about the future of your city, and also just personally, Dr. Norman Francis, president of Xavier University and chair of the Louisiana Recovery Authority. As you've told us, your own you were left homeless by
Katrina. I have no home now. Living in temporary quarters, thanks to my oldest son.
and Kim Boyle of the Mayor's Bring New Orleans Back Commission.
Thank you.
Took some pretty fair damage yourself here from
Yes, I did. My parents lost their home. They're living with me now, and we're living back in my house, but it did suffer some damage, but we're happy to be back.
And King Milling, president of Whitney National Bank, you were high and dry, at least.
I was high and dry. I'm so fortunate I get embarrassed to talk about it.
Well, thanks to all three of you for talking with us about New Orleans in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.